When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're watching a Highwire Media podcast. Imagine uncovering a horrifying truth about someone you've loved your entire life. That's exactly what happened to David Kaczynski when he came to a devastating realization. His brother Ted was the infamous Unabomber. Tonight, we'll unravel the story of how David's sharp eye and moral conviction helped end a 17-year reign of terror. From the fight family dynamics that shaped their lives to the moment David recognized his brother's writings in the manifesto. This is a story of heartbreak, courage, and the ultimate sacrifice. David's choice wasn't just about identifying the Unabomber. It was a profound struggle between loyalty to family and doing what was right. His decision to contact the FBI would alter the lives of everyone involved and bring a nation closer to justice. This is the untold story behind a man who stopped one of the most elusive domestic terrorists in American history. How do you confront the possibility that someone you love is responsible for unimaginable violence? And what does it take to make the unthinkable choice to expose them? This episode dives into the emotional journey of David Kaczynski, the brother who chose justice over silence. Stay with us to uncover the incredible story of betrayal, bravery, and the family sacrifice that finally ended the Unabomber's terror. To understand the weight of David Kaczynski's decision to turn in his brother, it's important to explore the stark contrast in their lives and the shared bond that made the betrayal so heartbreaking. Ted and David grew up in the same household, shaped by the same upbringing, but their paths could not have diverged more dramatically. The tension between Ted's intellectual brilliance and growing alienation and David's grounded, empathetic approach to life sets the stage for this extraordinary story. Ted Kaczynski was an undeniable genius. From an early age, he exhibited a talent for mathematics that set him apart from his peers. Skipping two grades, Ted entered Harvard at just 16 years old, a feat that brought pride to his family, but also left him socially isolated among older classmates. While at Harvard, Ted's academic success continued to flourish, but his emotional development lagged behind. He struggled to form connections, often retreating into his own world of numbers and theories. It was during his time at Harvard that Ted participated in a series of psychological experiments led by Professor Henry Murray, which many speculate played a role in his growing distrust of authority and society. These experiments, which involved intense and often humiliating interrogation tactics, may have further alienated Ted, deepening a mistrust that would later define his worldview. After completing his PhD at the University of Michigan, Ted became one of the youngest professors ever hired at UC Berkeley. His career seemed poised for greatness, yet Ted resigned abruptly after just 2 years, citing a desire to escape what he saw as the growing pressures and hypocrisies of modern academia. This decision marked the beginning of his retreat from society, a retreat that would eventually take him to a tiny cabin in the wilderness of Montana, where his disdain to industrialization and technology began to fester into something much darker. In contrast, David Kaczynski took a much more conventional and emotional connected path in life. Though not a prodigy like his older brother, David was thoughtful, creative, and empathetic. He pursued a career in education and later worked in nonprofit organizations, dedicating his life to help others and fostering meaningful relationships. David's life was grounded in the values of compassion and responsibility, traits that would later drive him to make one of the hardest decisions imaginable. David admired his older brother deeply, often seeing Ted's intellect as both a gift and a burden. While Ted excelled in academia, David thrived in his ability to connect with others, forming close friendships and building a life centered on community. Yet, even as their paths diverged, David maintained a strong sense of loyalty to his brother, often acting as a bridge between Ted and the rest of the family. Over the years, Ted's relationship with his family, including David, became increasingly fraught. While David sought connection, Ted resented any attempts to pull him back into the world he had rejected. Ted's letters became more critical, not just of society, but also of his own family, whom he accused of being complicit in the technological systems he despised. For David, these letters were painful, but not entirely shocking. He had come to accept that his brother's brilliance was paired with a profound sense of alienation. Despite the growing divide, David never gave up on his brother. He continued to believe that Ted was simply eccentric, not dangerous. He cherished the memories of their childhood and hoped that one day Ted might find peace or at least reconnect with a family. We're going to take a quick break from this episode, and I'd like to discuss my sponsor, NordVPN, the service that keeps me confident and secure every time I go online. If you're not familiar, a VPN stands for Virtual Private Network, and NordVPN is one of the best out there for keeping your browsing activity under wraps. Why do I use NordVPN? First, it gives me total online privacy. When you connect NordVPN servers, all your internet data is encrypted. That means snoopers, advertisers, and even your internet provider can't see your personal info or track your digital footprints. It's like having an invisible cloak for your online life. Second, NordVPN is awesome for unblocking geo-restricted content. Love streaming sports from overseas or catching up on that show that isn't available in your country yet? Just open NordVPN, pick a server from one of their thousands of locations worldwide, and boom, you'll have access to content you couldn't see before. Plus, with speeds faster than ever, you can stream in high definition without those pesky buffering interruptions. Now let's talk simplicity. NordVPN's app is super user-friendly. Whether you're on a phone, laptop, or tablet, you can connect with just one click. And if you ever get stuck, their customer support is there 24/7. Another big highlight, NordVPN has a no-logs policy, which means that they never track or store your data. Your digital world stays yours alone. Lastly, if you travel often like me, NordVPN really comes in handy. Whether you're on public Wi-Fi at airports, hotels, or coffee shops, your data is always at risk. But with NordVPN, you can safeguard your connection and keep hackers at bay. No more worrying about whether your coffee shop Wi-Fi is safe. So if you're serious about protecting your privacy, accessing global content, and just having peace of mind online, NordVPN is the way to go. Give it a try, and I promise you'll wonder why you waited so long. Hit the link in the description to learn more and grab a special deal. Stay safe out there. Happy browsing with NordVPN. Now let's get back to the rest of our episode.
Until years later, when the Unabomber's Manifesto was published, that David realized just how deeply Ted's anger and resentment had transformed into something far more sinister. By 1995, the FBI's search for the Unabomber had spanned nearly two decades with no significant breakthroughs. Each bombing was more sophisticated and random than the last, leaving investigators and the public in a state of unease. In a bold and unprecedented move, the Unabomber himself shifted the investigation's trajectory. He sent a letter to several newspapers and demanded the publication of his 35,000-word manifesto, Industrial Society and Its Future. His ultimatum? Publish the manifesto in a major outlet, or he would continue his violent campaign. This put the FBI in a difficult position. Agreeing to publish the manifesto meant giving a platform to a domestic terrorist, but the Bureau hoped that such a widespread dissemination might lead someone to recognize the writing. After much debate, the FBI and the DOJ decided to support publication, urging the Washington Post and the New York Times to print the manifesto in full. It was an extraordinary decision, rooted in the belief that someone, somewhere, might identify the author through his unique ideas and writing style. Little did they know that the key tip would come from the author's own family. David Kaczynski and his wife, Linda Patrick, were living a quiet life in Shroom Lake, New York, far removed from the chaos of the Unabomber's investigation. When the manifesto was published in September 1995, it caught their attention, not because they suspected Ted, but because of the nationwide coverage surrounding it. Like many Americans, they were curious about the document that had terrorized the nation into submission. As David and Linda began reading the manifesto, their curiosity turned to unease. The ideas expressed in the document, its condemnation of technology, its critique of industrial society, and its disdain for modern institutions, felt eerily familiar. Linda was the first to voice what they were both beginning to suspect. The writing sounded a lot like Ted's. She encouraged David to revisit letters Ted had written to him over the years, believing they might confirm their growing fears. As David read through the manifesto, he couldn't ignore the uncanny parallels to his brother's earlier correspondence. Ted's letters had often focused on similar themes, railing against technological advancement, industrialization, and the loss of human freedom. David began to recognize not just similarities in ideas, but also in phrasing, tone, and the meticulous, almost pedantic structure of the arguments. One phrase in particular stood out: the power of process. Manifesto described how industrial society undermines human fulfillment by removing the need for meaningful challenges in life, replacing them with surrogate activities. This exact concept, and even the term itself, had appeared in letters Ted had written to David years earlier. The connection was undeniable, and it sent chills down David's spine. The manifesto's tone was another giveaway. It was blunt, argumentative, and critical, with a precise, logical style that mirrored the way Ted structured his thoughts and writing. The author of the manifesto wasn't just frustrated with modern society, he was angry, convinced of his own intellectual superiority, and deeply contemptuous of those who supported the technological systems he despised. David recognized this tone as distinctly Ted's, a reflection of his brother's long-standing frustrations and growing alienation. As David continued to analyze the manifesto, he noticed smaller, specific clues that tied the writing to Ted. The manifesto's disdain for left-wing political ideologies echoed complaints Ted had made in his letters. Even the way the author framed certain arguments, methodically dissecting an idea before launching into a passionate critique, was strikingly similar to Ted's rhetorical style. For David, the process of connecting the manifesto to his brother was both surreal and heartbreaking. On one hand, he couldn't ignore the mounting evidence that Ted might be the Unabomber. On the other, he struggled to reconcile the author of this violent manifesto with the brother he had grown up admiring. The idea that Ted, who had once been a celebrated academic, could be capable of such calculated violence was almost too much to bear. Linda, too, recognized the gravity of their discovery. She urged David to consider the possibility that Ted might truly be the person behind the bombings. Her encouragement helped David face the painful reality. If their suspicions were correct, it was their moral duty to act. The idea of doing nothing, of allowing the bombings to continue, was unthinkable. Yet the emotional weight of turning in his own brother was a burden David wasn't sure he could carry. The manifesto had been intended as a message to the world, a condemnation of modern society. But for David, it became something much more personal. A key to unlocking a terrible truth about his own family. What had started as casual curiosity led to a life-altering realization, one that would force David to make the most difficult decision of his life. For David Kaczynski, suspecting that his brother Ted might be the Unabomber was a shocking and surreal realization. The very thought seemed...
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. We ask that you kindly not be that guy, and instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone from their top brands in any condition on any unlimited plan for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 with Galaxy AI.
With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger. And future stronger you can get started now by saving $28 or more when you join today. You in? We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need to keep stepping it up. And free fitness training to help you mix up your routine. Plus, most clubs are open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends February 28th. See home club for details.
Almost impossible to reconcile with the brother he had grown up with. A brilliant, quiet boy who had excelled at math and dreamed of a simpler, self-sufficient life. David's initial disbelief was as much about love and loyalty as it was about the difficulty of imagining that someone so close to him could be capable of such horrific acts. When David first considered the possibility that Ted might be the Unabomber, his immediate reaction was denial. How could the sibling he had once shared a childhood with, the same brother who had guided him through puzzles and introduced him to intellectual ideas, be responsible for acts of terrorism? For years, David had rationalized Ted's reclusiveness and growing hostility as quirks of his personality, not signs of danger. Ted had always been eccentric. He was still family. Yet, as David revisited Ted's letters and compared them to the manifesto, the similarities became impossible to dismiss. The same phrases, the same anger towards industrial society, the same obsessive critique of technology, all of it pointed to Ted. For David, the realization was both chilling and heartbreaking. He felt as though he were seeing his brother in a new, terrifying light, and that the bond that they had shared as children had been irrevocably tainted by this grim possibility. David didn't face the realization alone. His wife, Linda, was instrumental in helping him process the mounting evidence. From the beginning, Linda had been the first to voice her suspicion that Ted might be the Unabomber after reading the manifesto. She noticed not only the similarities in tone and content, but also the way the manifesto mirrored Ted's way of thinking. Linda's perspective added weight to David's growing doubts, and she gently but firmly encouraged him to confront the possibility. Their conversations were intense and emotional, filled with the gravity of what they might have to do. Linda emphasized the moral responsibility they shared. If Ted was the Unabomber, reporting him could save lives. Allowing the bombings to continue when they had the power to stop them wasn't an option. Still, Linda was deeply empathetic towards David's struggles. She understood the profound pain of what he was grappling with, the potential loss of his relationship with his brother, the betrayal Ted would surely feel, and the heavy burden of knowing that their actions might lead to Ted's imprisonment or even execution. Through it all, Linda's steady encouragement helped David find the strength to consider the unthinkable. Ultimately, David's choice came down to his belief in justice and his duty to prevent further harm. It was not a decision he made lightly, nor one he would ever come to terms with. He understood that by reporting Ted, he would likely lose his brother forever. Not just to prison, but to the anger and betrayal Ted would inevitably feel. Yet David also knew that staying silent was not an option. The potential cost of inaction was simply too high. David's decision was a testament to the strength of his moral character. It reflected the ability to put the needs of others above his own pain, to choose justice over loyalty, and to accept the emotional consequences of doing what was right. It was an act of extraordinary courage, driven by a deep sense of responsibility and an unwavering commitment to protecting innocent lives. After months of agonizing over suspicions and wrestling with his loyalty to his brother, David made the life-altering decision to contact the FBI. It was a moment defined by courage and heartbreak as David realized the magnitude of what he was about to do. Turn in his own brother to potentially face a lifetime in prison, or worse, the death penalty. The decision was not made lightly, and the journey from suspicion to collaboration with federal authorities would test David in ways he never imagined. When David officially approached the FBI through his lawyer, he provided them with a trove of personal letters Ted had written over the years. These letters, often filled with Ted's frustrations with modern society and technology, mirrored the tone and content of the Unabomber's manifesto. They were the key evidence investigators needed to establish a connection between Ted and the manifesto. David's cooperation involved sifting through years of correspondence, revisiting deeply personal moments shared between brothers. Each letter was another piece of evidence, another fragment of their bond repurposed for the FBI's investigation. David's meticulous memory also helped investigators understand Ted's worldview and his timeline, details that were instrumental in building their case. The FBI took David's suspicions seriously. They needed to confirm the connection between Ted and the manifesto before taking action. Linguistic experts analyzed the letters and compared them to the manifesto, identifying striking similarities in tone, vocabulary, and phrasing. The reoccurring themes of the power process, criticisms of industrial society, and disdain for technology left little doubt that the same author had written both sets of documents. The evidence David provided was exactly what the FBI had been searching for. With the letters in hand, investigators were able to obtain a search warrant for Ted's remote cabin. On April 3, 1996, the FBI raided the cabin, uncovering bomb-making materials, a typewriter used to draft the manifesto, and journal entries detailing the attacks. It was a definitive breakthrough that confirmed Ted as the Unabomber, ending his 17-year reign of terror. David's cooperation was instrumental in bringing the case to a close, and the FBI acknowledged his critical role in helping to identify and apprehend his brother. Yet for David, the resolution was bittersweet. While the nation celebrated the capture of a domestic terrorist, David was left grappling with the personal cost of his decisions. The days following Ted's arrest were a whirlwind of media attention and family upheaval. David's name was eventually revealed to the public, placing him at the center of a story that had captivated the nation. While many praised his courage, David struggled with the guilt and grief of having played a role. in his brother's downfall. Turning in Ted Kaczynski was not just a seismic moment in David's life, it sent shockwaves through the entire Kaczynski family, fracturing relationships and leaving lasting emotional scars. The decision to report his brother to the FBI fundamentally altered the family dynamic, particularly the bond between Ted and David, which was already strained by years of separation and ideological differences. The aftermath was a period of immense grief, guilt, and public scrutiny as the family grappled with the knowledge that one of their own was responsible for so much pain and suffering. David's decision to turn in Ted effectively ended their relationship as brothers. Ted, who already harbored a deep distrust of others and intense disdain for societal institutions, viewed David's actions as the ultimate betrayal. In Ted's eyes, David wasn't just a brother. He was a symbol of the very system Ted had been railing against for decades. After his arrest, Ted refused to forgive David, cutting off communication and accusing him of aligning with the government to destroy him. For David, the rejection was one of the most painful consequences of his choice. Despite Ted's hostility and radical views, David still loved his brother deeply. He had spent much of his life trying to maintain a connection with Ted, even as their paths diverged. The loss of that bond, compounded by Ted's refusal to acknowledge David's good intentions, left David with a profound sense of sadness and grief. This estrangement wasn't just about the loss of a relationship, it was about the loss of a Ted David had once known. In David's memory, Ted wasn't just the Unabomber. He was the brilliant older brother who had guided him through childhood, sharing puzzles, books, and intellectual conversations. Reconciling that image with the man who had terrorized the nation was a heartbreaking struggle for David, one that would linger for years. So, one of the biggest questions that remains is, would you turn in a family member? David's story forces us to confront a question that is uncomfortable as it is crucial. Would you turn in your own family member to stop further violence? For most people, this scenario feels unimaginable, but for David, it was a reality he couldn't ignore. His choice highlights the tension between personal loyalty and the greater good, a conflict that lies at the heart of many ethical dilemmas. The answer isn't straightforward. Turning in a loved one requires not only an extraordinary sense of responsibility, but also a willingness to endure the emotional consequences of that choice. For David, it meant accepting the permanent loss of his relationship with Ted, facing the guilt of betraying his brother, and grappling with the pain of shattering his family. Yet it also meant preventing more deaths and ensuring that justice was served. David's decision challenges us to think about where we draw the line between loyalty and accountability. Is it ever right to stay silent in the face of wrongdoing, even when it involves someone we love? At what point does protecting others outweigh our obligation to family? These are questions without easy answers, and they underscore the extraordinary nature of David's moral dilemma. One of the most defining aspects of David's advocacy has been his outspoken opposition to the death penalty. When Ted was arrested, there was significant public and legal pressure for him to face the ultimate punishment for his crimes. For David, the possibility was deeply troubling. While he believed in holding Ted accountable, he was fundamentally opposed to the idea of responding to violence with state-sanctioned execution. David's stance on the death penalty is rooted in both personal conviction and his broader understanding of justice. He has argued that the death penalty perpetuates the cycles of violence and fails to address the underlying cause of criminal behavior. In Ted's case, David saw the death penalty as an act of vengeance rather than a solution, and he worked tirelessly to advocate for a life sentence instead. And his efforts were successful. Ted ultimately avoided the death penalty, receiving a sentence of life imprisonment without parole. In the years since, David has become a prominent voice in the movement to abolish the death penalty. He has worked with organizations such as Murder Victims Families for Human Rights, using his unique perspective to challenge the notion that execution is a form of justice. David's advocacy is deeply personal, but it also reflects his broader belief in the value of compassion, even in the face of unimaginable harm. In the end, David Kaczynski's journey is a reminder that our greatest challenges often reveal our deepest strengths. His story is not just about the Unabomber. It's about the enduring power of humanity to confront darkness with light and to choose compassion, even in the face of heartbreak. His journey from suspicion to advocacy highlights the complexity of navigating loyalty, justice, and human responsibility to prevent harm. By stepping forward, David not only brought an end to Ted's reign of terror, but also sparked essential conversations about mental health, family dynamics, and the ethical challenges we face in life's most difficult moments. But what happens after the FBI finally captured Kaczynski? How did the raid on his Montana cabin reveal the extent of his crimes? And what unfolded during the trial where Ted's mental health and his insistence on representing himself took center stage? Join us in the next episode where we'll uncover the dramatic moments of his arrest, the trove of evidence found, and the legal battles that followed. We'll explore how the trial shaped public perception of the Unabomber, and how justice was ultimately served in one of the most infamous cases in modern history. So don't miss it. And with that, thank you so much for watching and listening. Give us your thoughts in the comment section below. Give us a thumbs up if you like the video. Hit that subscribe button down below. Hit the bell notification button to be notified of future video. And if you like us doing these single episodes revolving us like a singular topic, let me know what future topics you want covered, topics or cases. And of course, if you want to support the channel, you can buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/TCNS. As always, thank you so much for watching and listening. You can find us on all major podcast platforms, including Good Pods and Spotify. And with that, we'll see you next time.
Geico makes it easy to get affordable renter's insurance in as little as 90 seconds. That way, you have more energy for harder things, like the laundry. Why is it so difficult to fold clothes? They just end up wrinkly anyway, or on the floor in a pile that just sits there, taunting you. But with renter's insurance through Geico, at least you know that those clothes and the other things you love are covered. Get more with Geico.